Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
Field, the middle, double play depth, the pitch. A high drive into right center field. Going back is Bruce, still going back. Adios! Pelota! It's a three-run homer for Connor Gillespie. And they are stunned in the big city. Connor Gillespie has hit a three-run homer into the Mets bullpen, and that is a shot. And it was out of here with plenty to spare. The Giants have a 3-0 lead in the ninth.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills. I'm a huge Giants fan, and I'm incredibly excited to introduce my two co-hosts who are here with me tonight. First, we're going to start with Chad King. Chad King, all the way from Gilroy, California, the garlic capital of California, I think.
The world, baby.
Is it the world? I don't know, man.
The world.
But welcome back to the show, dude. What's up?
Woo, almost struck out. But we're good. We're good. We're recording.
We're good? Was that strike three? Are we good?
We are good. We are good. It was a foul tip, but we're still alive. Yeah, we fouled it off. We're still alive.
Yeah, spoiled it. Let's, you know, we're waiting for the high fastball. That's all right. It's a sinker ball pitcher we're looking up. That's all. But not only do we have Chad King with us tonight, we also have, all the way from Florida, Mr. Eric Nathanson. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Not much. Just chilling in the middle of a hurricane. You know, normal Thursday night.
Standard Florida fare, I think. Right?
Yep.
Okay, can I just say, like, and I've said this, I think, on several podcasts in the past. People always ask me, growing up in San Francisco, like, how do you live there with all the earthquakes? And I said to them, we have one earthquake, every 100 years. How do you live on the East Coast with all the hurricanes? It's like every 2 years, 3 years. Like, haven't you guys, like, freaked out every couple years?
No, well, they are up north. Down here in Florida, we don't get it as much. This is rare, too. This one, they're saying this is historic, how it's hitting our coast.
But how many hurricanes have you been through personally while you've been in Florida?
Zero. This is my first.
This is your first?
Yes. They hadn't had one make landfall in Florida in 11 years before earlier this year when hurricane something or other hit the panhandle.
All right. Okay. All right. Never mind. I retract my previous statement.
Well, yeah, but like North Carolina, those places I totally know what you mean. Those places.
It seems like every year there's another hurricane, you know, and like the earthquake doesn't seem that scary in comparison. But anyway, you know what does seem scary in comparison is the Giants every other year. If we're talking about every other year. There's clearly one thing that's scary as hell to baseball, and that's the Giants. And guess what? We're back. We won. We beat the Mets in the wild card game, and we're moving on facing the Cubs. And that's basically what we're going to talk about today. So let's just start off just talking about the game, dude. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, I think I'm over my barf bucket filling last night.
Okay, wait a minute. So that was tense. Were you really barf bucket? Were you really barf bucket status?
Yeah, it's just I had a calm confidence about Bumgarner's start, but the fact was I was also scared that Syndergaard was not going to allow anything, and he was dominant as ever.
Let's be honest, for sure. Yeah.
So I thought, you know, there was just going to be one mistake by Bum or one mistake by a fielder, and they were just going to squeak a run, right? And that was going to be the difference in the game. That's what I was kind of just waiting for that to drop, and it never happened. So it was great. It was great. Of course, it took to the very last inning, but
how do you bet against Bumgarner? That's my question. Like,
you can't. No, I didn't bet
from
against
here
him,
on
I was
out,
betting against maybe their never. Infield or something. You know, it's like someone just dropping a ball. I don't know. But
the Giants are going to make lots of money for people in Vegas at some point. But it ain't gonna
at
be
some
this
point.
Year.
Yeah, Vegas actually did switch. More money was going on to the Giants yesterday before the game. So it completely flipped into the Giants. Yeah, exactly. People like the late bettors were just pushing the line towards the Giants. So it was one of the rare times where the Giants actually were a favorite in a game or a series, which it's about time people start recognizing the whole weird even year bullshit now. But I mean, that's 11.
But even though, okay, even year bullshit aside, I think we just saw Bumgarner out duel somebody. Like,
oh no, that was just
with
a legend.
Little even year bullshit.
It was
right?
Paul Bunyan.
Like, obviously, yeah. Gillespie hitting a home run is potentially even year bullshit, but we've seen Bumgarner do this how many times now? At what point do we just expect it and not?
Well, that was the big difference with last night is Bumgarner had an obvious game plan. And that's not to say Syndergaard didn't, but Syndergaard's still in his phase of, I want to go challenge everybody. I want to go strike everybody out. Bumgarner cruised through the first three innings, seven pitches in each inning, and he got a ton of pop-ups. He worked the top of the zone. He didn't care. He just wanted to get outs. Like, he's got the perfect mentality for this kind of game. Mm-hmm. And Syndergaard just kind of flamed out, and the Giants just had to keep waiting him out and waiting him out. There's Bumgarner's just cut from a different cloth.
No,
I don't know.
That is the key right there, is the first three innings. It was 7-7-7 pitches in the first three innings. 21 pitches. That allowed him to go the full nine. I mean, hell, he could have pitched 10.
He threw, what, 27 in the fourth?
He got his pitch count up a little bit
in the fourth inning.
Yeah, but at least that gave him that cushion to last into the ninth. And Syndergaard,
exactly.
I mean, his stuff was better than Bumgarner's, clearly. I mean, in terms of just his nastiness, and he struck out 10. But he just wasn't as efficient as Bumgarner was. Like Eric said, he was attacking the top of the zone, and he's like, I don't care about strikeouts. I'm attacking hitters' weaknesses, especially Cespedes and guys like
Cespedes
that.
Those were beautiful pitches.
Weren't they?
Every single one of them was just at the top of the zone or slightly above, right? And he was nailing that spot every single time. He wasn't dropping the shoulder and flying that fastball. It was hitting that exact spot where Posey's glove was. That ball was going, and Cespedes was swinging at every single one. And while he was spoiling a bunch off, it was setting him up to then
drop the curveball,
and then you're done. Yeah.
Yep. Drop it.
It was kind of it was the formula he used to such perfection in 14, and I think he's just kind of like made the formula better. I was looking at his stats last night, and I don't have him right in front of me, but in all of these last few games, he's had more fly ball and pop-up outs than he has strikeouts and ground balls. Because he's understood that if he continues to work like this, he's going to get outs. He's going to get outs quickly. He's going to force the batters to do things and hit themselves out. And he's just kind of mastered it. And Posey cannot be forgotten in this.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
To call such a great game, to stay fastballs through the first three innings, then bring those curveballs in that y'all were talking about. I mean, as soon as they started mixing that stuff in, Bumgarner, as good as deadly as Syndergaard looked, Bumgarner just looked like he was, you know, I'm just toying with these guys.
Thor was Thor. I mean, he just pitched with nasty stuff, but Bumgarner, it was an art form. That's what it was.
So
I'd say that's the difference.
So let me introduce to you guys two characters for tonight's show. One will be Classy Dills, and the other is going to be like Asshole Dills. So we got Classy Dills and Asshole Dills.
All right,
which
here we go.
Bad cop.
All right, here we go.
So here's my response to Classy Dills' response to last night's game. Goes something like this. Syndergaard, man, what a performance. You were just blowing people away. So many strikeouts. What a performance. You deserve better, man. You deserve to win that game. Amazing for a 24-year-old guy to go out there and do what you did. Now, asshole Dills goes like this. Trying to pitch for strikeouts is a young man's game. Trying to pitch for the actual win, that's what Bumgarner does. You need to learn. You need to get there, boy. Like, that's okay. That's asshole Dills. It was kind of watching a younger pitcher with a guy who's been through there and been through the everything that Syndergaard is yet to go through. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what happened. Like, Bumgarner managed pitch counts. Syndergaard just tried to strike everyone out, right? And he went and he got wild at the end.
Well, and he had three.
I saw a lot of people say, "Why did they take Syndergaard out?" Right? Why did they take him out?
Oh, he was like 109 pitches.
Were you watching the same game I was watching? Yeah. He was wild as hell at the end. Mm-hmm. He was going to give up those runs, whether it was him or the bullpen. He would have given up those runs, right?
Yeah, so. He was, especially when he got in the stretch, he couldn't seem to find the strike zone as well.
Yeah.
And it's what made, like, that Curtis Granderson catch of the Belt ball. When Belt hit that ball.
First actual real chance anybody had. Yeah.
I was sure that ball was over Granderson's head, you know, at least a double, not necessarily gone. And then just to see him make that catch, you know, it was like, it was one of those moments that as a Giants fan could hit you in the gut and be like, it's not going to be our night. You know, look at that. How do you compete with that? And then, you know, Bum continues doing what he does to set it up for Connor.
Absolutely. So obviously we got to give our props to Syndergaard because he did pitch fantastically, but again, his pitch count was what did him in the end. It wasn't anything that he did as far as, like, it was he given up zero runs, two hits, I think, but when he came out. So, yeah, you know, obviously did everything he was supposed to do as the starting pitcher for the Mets.
No, he was absolutely fantastic. I mean, obviously, as a Mets fan, I would be pretty disappointed, but yeah, it was ace versus ace. It completely lived up to the hype. Everybody was hyping this up. Bum versus Thor. It's going to be a scoreless game. It's going to be a 1-1 game. It's going to go to extra innings. They're just going to go mano y mano. And it was. It was exactly that. And the difference was just Bum outlasting him. I will say, though, that the key to the game, aside from his efficiency in the first three innings, which allowed him to go into the ninth.
Well, he got efficient again later on. He had a couple of
it was in the middle innings.
He was super efficient in the seventh and eighth and even the ninth. So
yeah, and in the eighth inning that was a little scary. It wasn't the hardest hit line drive, but with a runner in scoring position.
Oh, right back at him though. Yeah.
I mean, if that thing floats,
he doesn't
by
catch
him,
that. That's up the middle for
it, there you go.
At least
and the Mets get the one run, right? And who knows what happens after that. So that was a little bit of even your bullshit there. But going into the ninth, though, of course, with Familia coming up, it was a little bit like, well, we know what he did last year in the postseason, and he struggled in high-pressure situations. I mean, he had 51 saves this year, so he's no slouch, and he throws 98 miles an hour. But he comes in and he immediately gives up that double to Crawford, and that was just
everyone's
going to
talk about
here
what he did in the World Series last year, right? And now they're going to say he's a postseason donk, right? Like, that's going to be his – he's going to be pegged as that forever. I don't know if he threw that badly. Like, he definitely – the Giants, I think, waited him out. Like, those are pitches that throughout the year people were swinging and missing at, I think.
I agree. Well, because Pagan couldn't get the bunt down, but then Panic comes up with one out, and he fought off a couple of really tough pitches.
Panic had an amazing at-bat.
That was the key at-bat, because if he gets out, you know what happens to Connor, right?
Well, that's a pinch hitter. Or they walk him for Bummer.
They walk him for
Bummer. Bummer is a pinch hitter.
Exactly, and then he's got to put up Jarrett Parker, who was in the on-deck circle.
And then Bumgarner doesn't pitch the ninth.
And then he doesn't pitch the ninth, yeah. So it's interesting how that one at-bat, even though it was just a mundane walk, it was a well-earned walk. And, you know, he fought off a couple of pitches, including a two-strike ball in the dirt, basically, which he somehow got a piece of. So that put him
and
on.
Everyone's
and, of course,
say
they had to pitch
terribly,
Connor.
But he didn't, right? Like, I think that you have to say that the Giants hitters laid off pitches that normally other hitters would swing at and strike out. Like, I think you have to.
You have to
give credit to the Giants hitters there.
Yeah, no, Panic was supreme there. And then, of course, he has that devastating sinker And that's what the pitch was called for. That was a sinker, and he just left it up, and it did nothing. It just did nothing. And Connor
well,
said,
you
Thank
hear
you
it
very
from
much.
Kruko every time a sinker ball pitcher comes in, look up. That's and Connor Gillespie said it in his post game interview. Well, I was just looking for something up, and he got something up, and he hit it out. So that's it. You know,
he has 31 career home runs in 7 seasons. Think about that.
Wow.
I mean, he
has one really good one in one season.
That's what I mean. He joins the lore of unlikely heroes in Giants, you know, mythology with Cody Ross, who was the waiver wire block, and Scudero and Morse and Ishikawa. I mean, it's amazing.
He doesn't yet. He only joins Ross, Scudero, Morse, and Ishikawa if the Giants win the World Series.
Well, okay.
I agree.
I give you that.
In the World Series, this is a freaking awesome moment for his career, but it is not what those guys.
Yeah, it'd be like a Brian Johnson home run, right?
Everyone's
like
already talking about
it. It wins
this.
The West, but they don't go anywhere after that.
We are jumping the gun, dude. We are jumping the gun on giving him Ross, Scudero, Morse, and Ishikawa love.
I'd say he's on the bottom of the list. He's up, you know.
But it is a wait and see on whether he like enters.
If they get bounced by the Cubs, it's just like whatever. Yeah. It's a footnote.
It's a thing that happened one time. Like Will Clark hitting it up the middle against the Cubs has always been one of my favorite things ever. Yep. But we didn't win at all that year, right? Nope. So, like, it's
memorable.
Always kind of paled in comparison to what's really happened when we win the whole thing.
I will agree with you guys there, but. I wanted to go ahead and throw some stats at you guys. I think you guys have heard this a million times, and ESPN has definitely touted this. But Bumgarner, of course, probably the best postseason pitcher now in history. I mean, it's really hard to kind of combat that with the stats. He lowers his road postseason ERA to 0.50. It was 0.6 coming into the game, and he lowered it. The Giants are 8-0 in those road starts. He has the best ERA in MLB history on the road. And now the Giants have won 9 consecutive elimination postseason games. They've tied the Yankees with 11 consecutive postseason series wins. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then to hear, I was listening to KMBR at the time, and it came out on ESPN later and stuff. But Dwayne Kuiper walked onto the bus at 4 p.m. before the game with the players. And he said, you know what, who was on the bus? And it wasn't Murph and Mac. It was the later guys in the afternoon. I think it was Tom Tolbert and stuff. And they said, no. I said, it was Bum, and he was sleeping. I mean, dude, I was nervous before the game yesterday. There's no way I could sleep. And he's freaking starting. And he's like, hey, whatever. I'm going to catch some Z's here. It's all good.
But that's
as
why
casual
we
as casual
be
can
so
be,
so
right?
nervous.
Cool as a cucumber,
that's
man.
That's why.
It's unbelievable.
That's why, man.
I'd love to get in his brain and like see how he feels. Like, I mean, I know he gets adrenaline. You have to have adrenaline in these starts to help you perform. But as far as anxiety or nerves, he has zero. He has none. It's like he's dead inside. It's unbelievable. And his focus.
He's definitely not dead inside.
No, but his focus goes to 11.
He's got something inside that other people don't have, which is, I think, just a... He really looks at every game as exactly the same. Like in his post game interview, he was almost surprised to be asked these questions, right? I mean, I know he was getting asked the hard questions, but he was surprised to be asked these questions. Like he's like, "What do you do different? Like, what is it that you do?" And he's like, "I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I pitch like I always do, and I win, right? Like, and that's his answer." And I think, and what's funny is it's believable. I really believe that he's not just shining us on and giving us the bullshit major league pitcher answers.
Okay, well,
I think he's literally like, what do you want me to say? Like, it's a game. I go out there and I pitch.
So his career regular season ERA is hovering a little over 3, right? This year was his best regular season ever with a 2.74. Yeah. But his postseason stats dwarf anything he's ever done in the regular season. So my question to you is, I don't understand how, if he truly believes and thinks that he is just, I'm just pitching like I always do, but the results are different than the regular season, then is it a subconscious?
No, I got something for you.
Is it a subconscious thing that he turns on and doesn't realize?
What
or is it his opposition that tightens up?
Yes, that's exactly the thing. What if he's the only one going out there and doing the normal thing?
Yeah.
And everyone he's facing is freaking out because it's the postseason. That's and he's the only one not freaking out.
Right.
Right?
So I don't know.
He's throwing his pitches the way he always does.
But the Mets were in the World Series last year. It's tough to say that most of those guys are, you know.
But wait, who was in the World Series last year? This exact Mets team or a bunch of other guys who were in?
No, well, about half and half.
Sure. Like, I'm just saying, like, what if the answer is he's just doing his normal thing? Because it's not like he's throwing 92, 93 mile hour fastballs. He's locating them well. He's not doing anything that, like, no one's ever seen before.
No, I agree with you.
He's doing it really well at the time he needs to do it, right?
But it's funny. It's like, if it's not the opposition getting too tight, which allows him to kind of buoy above them, if he really does, you know, notch it up or ratchet it up for the postseason, I wish he'd bring that to the regular season a little bit more.
Maybe one of those starts in there would have ended up a little bit better and the Giants would have not had to play the wild card game.
Yeah, because he had some stinkers in the regular season, a few here and there, you know. It happens. But yeah. Now, it's just interesting to think about you just getting in his mind and exactly what's going on. Is it really a focus thing? Is it a subconscious focus thing? Or like you said, Willie, you and I have the theory about maybe he just plays normal, but everybody else kind of dials it down a little bit because of the anxiety or the stress, or they try to overdo it. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of everything, you know?
Maybe he's on horse.
Whatever it is, he's a freaking legend right now. And at some point, in some postseason, this one or a future one, he's going to have a stinker, and it's not going to ruin his legend. I think they were putting out to match Clayton Kershaw's postseason ERA, he has to allow 29 runs in the first inning of his next start.
Come on, man.
Or, right. Conversely, Kershaw has to pitch 10 consecutive shutouts to match his ERA.
I'm just going to say this, though. Like, I think Bumgarner is always going to be good in the postseason because he's just a good pitcher, right? And I think that some people definitely let pressure get to them, and he's just not one of those people, right? So it's like when I'm playing pool, I definitely see the difference between guys who like are really good pool players when I'm just hanging out with them and having a good time, we're having some beers, and then we play league match and they just freak out and they freeze up and they just play terrible. And I see this all the time. I think he's just one of those people that just doesn't, you know, and that's as low pressure can be, really. But the moment pressure is put on, they just freak out. And he's just one of those guys who just doesn't freak out ever.
There's only one athlete in history that I can recall watching consistently do that, and that's Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yep.
Sure.
Right. I can't think of another.
Like, I'm sure it's the same, whether it's the playoffs or the regular or game one of the regular season, right?
Like, right, and they're both competitive, and that was like, part of the stories about Bum before the game started was how he's so competitive and he'll turn anything into a game. That's kind of how Michael was. So there's like this like little switch that they get to ratchet up that, like, you know,
but does it ratchet them up, or does it ratchet them like in? Like, I don't know. It's like,
yeah,
like they don't get like more hype. They just get like more focused, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's a different thing. And we saw too, like he had some moments in that game where you could say, oh, here goes Bum again. He's freaking out on the umpire. This is bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Just turn that back off and start throwing strikes again.
It's all good,
you know?
Baby. It's all good.
when he stared down the home plate umpire,
yeah,
he was yelling at the home plate umpire from the mound.
He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You're like,
what are
you dude, doing? Can you please chill and not get thrown out of this game?
Come on now.
But then after that, it's like it never happened again, right? So. Mm-hmm.
The umpire was probably actually scared too, but you know.
The umpire's like, oh, damn it. I pissed off Bumgarner. That's it for me. They had a conversation. They were trying to show the replay of the catch in center field, and then they had to cut back because they were like, oh, now Bumgarner and the umpire are talking. So that was an interesting moment for sure. But yeah, there was a lot of interesting moments here. I mean, I think you can say there were definitely some scoring opportunities for the Mets, but they were much fewer and far between than the Giants scoring opportunities. The Giants had hit already four or five balls to the warning track by the eighth inning, right? Before Connor Gillespie actually hit his home
including
run.
Including Mad Bum, too.
Mad Bum on one pitch, yeah. I mean, he got a hold of one.
Too.
It looked like maybe the ball just wasn't carrying. And you know, the game was going to be settled on, you know, a rally, you know, maybe a walk, a single, and then a double to drive in a couple or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think there was one inning bum allowed that leadoff double, so they had three shots at that, and it didn't
That's
happen.
That's right.
Another amazing stat. Aside from the fact that he's allowed no runs in 23 innings of elimination games in the postseason, which is incredible, out of those 23 innings, they've had the opposition's had 24 runners in scoring position and not knocked in one. They're 0 for 24. Wow. I mean, that's just shut it down. Yeah, it's like, no, you're not scoring. You got on second, but you're not scoring. Sorry, man. Mm-hmm. Not doing it. So just incredible stats.
The Giants also, Denard Span got called out on a steal. That
was such bullshit.
I still don't understand that call. Safe. I do not understand
that
call.
They never even revisited it after that. Like, they just were like, okay. So, yeah. But he was safe. He had two steals in yesterday's game.
They need to revisit that little bullshit rule about coming off the bag slightly as you're sliding over it or something like that.
Stupid, right?
They gotta allow for that.
Because he was as close as you can possibly be to the bag with his whole body. Like, it was actually an awkward slide, you know? But he gets called out apparently on the fact that he left contact with the bag for a second, maybe? I guess. I'm not really sure. They didn't explain it. That's the only possible way that could have been called an out, right?
That's all that it looks like, because it sure as shit looked like his foot was touching and then his leg came in and touched right when his foot let go. I guess
his
they felt
left foot
was a...
dragged across. There was a moment his left foot went up in the air, but it looked like at that time his right foot also came into the bag, and then his body slid across the bag the entire rest of the play. So,
but if he's called
replace
safe,
him with all robot umpires.
If Connor wouldn't have hit the home run if he had been called safe, so like I think we got lucky.
Maybe. Yeah, whatever. Sure.
Hey, so Eric, I got a question for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Having all your connections to Chicago, of course, still being a Giants fan, but everything I've heard, and I tend to agree with this, but being so deep in Giants fandom, it's hard to objectively think about this. But everyone is saying on the national baseball scene, all of the pressure is squarely on the Cubs in the division series. Best record in the major leagues, the curse, Billy Goat, Giants have three rings, they 87 wins, they barely squeaked in, they got a lot of momentum. If they lose, it's not the end of the world. Do you agree with that?
100%. I absolutely agree with that. I am watching Cubs fans, and I'm friends with Cubs fans on Facebook, friends with Cubs fans from growing up, and I follow a lot of them on Twitter, and I watch the Cubs fans, and they're nervous as hell because they realize everybody's looking at the Cubs, and the Cubs are supposed to win these games, and if they don't, they'll fail, and it's like it's that terrified feeling we had before 2010. And at the same time, like, they don't like being the favorites. And you're right. The Giants have nothing to lose, you know. Three of the last, what, six World Series? The Cubs have everything to lose. So, yeah, I would agree. 100%. The pressure is on them. The Giants are playing with house money. I think any wild card team at this point is playing with house money. But, like, the Giants specifically, it feels like, are playing with house money because of how the second half went. I mean, could you imagine the Giants – one of the worst teams in baseball in the second half beats the Cubs like in three or four games in the first round. They'd never live it down.
It was like the Tigers World Series, right? I mean, God.
This is what we talked about in the last episode was that the second half literally means zero if we win this game.
It's been erased. It's been totally erased.
Because the Mets were 60-62, right? And went on a tear to make the playoffs.
Right.
So their first half was essentially erased because they actually found a way to actually make the playoffs, right?
And the Giants are the opposite.
The Giants were the reverse story, right? Being the best team in baseball, even better than the Cubs in the first half, and then having one of the worst second halves you could possibly have. We go into one game is all it takes, and now it's like the team that got hot at the end is gone, and the team that barely squeaked in with winning the last four games of the season, moves on. all of the regular season we can just throw the hell away at this point. It is the 25 guys on each side now in this in their current form, right? And that's all that matters.
I love to think of it this way, is that the Cubs won 103 games, the Giants won 87. So what's that, 16 games separate them. Now the only difference is the Cubs have one more game at home. That's it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's and the Giants
16 more wins doesn't mean anything.
It means it means virtually nothing. And not only that, but the Giants have won five in a row for the first time since June. Sure. I mean, this is like crazy. Well, it's like
that was the other
perfect
thing
timing for the Giants.
The Giants are playing better ball right now. The Cubs did not have the best final week of the season. They didn't have a horrible final week of the season. But, you know, they were fat and lazy. They didn't have anything to clinch.
Well, they didn't have anything to play for,
Right. Giants have been playing for their lives for over a week now.
Their and hitters so haven't seen any funny pitching that, now. It's weird.
Right. Joe Maddon said it. He's like, what are we going to do, bring in the Washington Generals to play us? We can't do that.
So here's the deal. The Giants have Cueto and Samardzija in games 1 and 2, right?
Maybe.
But that's supposedly like the way it's going to go.
I think more might go game two.
It could be more. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. But you win one of those games in Chicago.
Oh, that's the goal, is to split.
And it's like anybody's game at that point, right? So. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Bumgarner's game three at this point.
Yeah, but we said this 2 years ago, and then they won two in Washington with that epic 18-inning game, and then they come home and lose Bumgarner's start. It's like,
you're right. Like, Bumgarner's not a guaranteed win ever, of course. But Bumgarner's
the stakes have got to be high.
Yes, in Major League Baseball at this point, right? Yeah, so
it's about as close as
you can. But, yes, you want to split.
We should just start Bumgarner on Friday because it's a game on the road, right? And, like, that's when he does his best.
That's what people were saying. Hey, just start him for games 1 and 2. Just, you know, whatever.
I guarantee you, if Bochy came in and told you, Bumgarner, we're starting you on Friday, he'd be like, all right, man, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Let me take a nap on this bus real quick.
Totally believable. No, it's insane. So, but as far as the season series was concerned, the Giants lost 4 out of 7. We all know that 4-game series in Chicago near the end of the season was pretty epic. All 4 games were one run. In fact, the last 5 games they played against the Cubs were all one run games. The Giants did lose 4 out of 7. The Giants only hit 147 in those 7 games.
This was the bottom of the barrel for the Giants offensively this season. During that. And the pitching tried.
The pitching was excellent. The pitching was excellent. Yeah. It's just the hitting. I mean, the Cubs had the best, you know, ERA in the National League. So it's a formidable staff, no doubt. But what we talked about just briefly here prior to this is, of course, those intangibles. You know, the pressure on the Cubs, the break the Cubs have had, the fire in the Giants' belly. They're playing their best baseball since the first half right now at the perfect time. So all those X factors can kind of negate a lot of the stats that have accumulated over the season. And that's kind of what I'm taking from this right now.
Well, even the stats themselves, you said they hit like crap against the Cubs, yet they only lost 4 of the 7 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about this. This was the best team in baseball, and the Giants hit like shit and still could have beaten them 5 or 6 out of 7 times.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't say much for the Cubs, really.
Yeah.
Let me just say this, though. I don't think this Giants team is really that scared of a whole bunch of aces. We just beat Syndergaard.
No, they just can't hit the freaking rookies. That's who they can't hit.
We beat every ace that gets put in front of us for years now.
Hamels.
We don't care about the aces.
Verlander. You go down the list, and it's unbelievable how many aces they've beaten over the years in playoff situations.
Now, put the rookie who has, like, you know, middling ERA against us, and he's going to maybe no-hit us into the ninth. But the guys that we need to bear down on, they just do it. I don't understand really what it is, but, you know, it's kind of amazing to watch. Like, when everyone was talking about Syndergaard coming into this game, they're talking about his 98-mile-an-hour fastball. They're talking about 92 on the slider. They're talking about how he's got a changeup, how he's got breaking balls that are disgusting. And all I'm thinking is none of these guys on the Giants really care about 98 miles an hour on the fastball. They can all kind of hit that. You know, it's just a matter of, like, getting in there, bearing down, doing what they're supposed to do, working the count, and finding a way to beat you in the end. And they just are they're professional hitters. The Giants just have those guys. I'm not too worried about a bunch of aces. I'd be more worried about a random team coming through with a really sick offense and a bunch of middling pitchers, right?
The Padres like, with a triple A. Yeah. Chalupa, I don't know what pitcher it is, coming
that's
in.
Just how yeah, it's been like, working for years with the Giants. So
well, it's funny. That's how I feel about these playoffs. Like, I don't mind if the Giants can get past the Cubs. I don't mind seeing the Dodgers again. We know the Dodgers. The Nats, I don't know anything about them. You know, well, so I'd rather, you know, yeah, familiarity.
Saw a couple years ago, for sure.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, the familiarity, like you said, it totally does it for them. But there's something to be said for, like, when Syndergaard gets, like, pulled. It was kind of like when Zimmerman for the Nats got pulled a couple years ago.
And that should not have been done, though. That should not have been done. Matt Williams.
Well, this one I agree
there.
With, though. I think Syndergaard was supposed to come out in this game.
Oh, yeah, Syndergaard was done.
He's bitching about
it, it changes the Giants from you know, they weren't scared of Syndergaard, and they went from I'm not scared of you to I'm gonna step on your throat. And they have that the other teams don't.
I think
have.
They were gonna score on Syndergaard if he stayed in.
I agree.
I don't think maybe it was a 3-run homer. I think maybe it was, you know, like a couple walks and then a base hit.
Well, in the next inning in the eighth, they did load the bases. They just didn't, you know, they didn't punch through. So against their reliever, I forget his name, but
that's true. Actually, yeah, you know, that was another guy who had an amazing season, right? Yeah. Sub 2 ERA, was, you know, supposed to just kind of shut down. He was part of their sick Mets bullpen. Didn't quite look that way, honestly.
No, he barely escaped there. In fact, hit that fastball that he blew away Hunter Pence with the bases loaded, was pretty much right down the middle. And
oh, no. Hunter Pence probably crushes that thing out of the park, like, more often.
Four out of five times. He missed it. He just missed it.
He's not patient anymore. He got patient, and he got better in September.
Hunter?
He stopped being patient. Yeah.
Hunter's a little bit of a flailer.
He stopped being patient.
Although, man, he got a little screwed on two at-bats against Syndergaard, I think.
Yes, outside
pitch. He was getting balls that were not even on the plate at all. And I understand that the umpire had he has a reputation for calling low outside pitches strikes. And maybe Hunter's supposed to know that, but those were a little too outside, I think, to get called.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I agree.
Hunter doesn't cover the outside part of the plate as well as a lot of hitters anyway.
No, not so much. Pulls out a little bit too much.
So do you?
He
guys...
falls back. He pulls back on his left foot.
Oh yeah. By the way, who? Can we review our score guesses from?
I have them written down. Did you write them?
Oh, you
down?
Do. No, I did not write them. Down. That's why I wanted you to review. Them.
I have them written down with notes.
So I remember mine. I called three and one. 3-1.
You said Bumgarner. Yeah, you said Bumgarner would go 8, and he went 9. So you were the closest.
I'm just out a little bit. I gave the Mets offense too much credit. I thought they would score one
run.
Ben said something about a barf bag, and he said 5-2. Chad, you said the Giants by 1 or 2, and then the bum would go 7, and the pen would come up huge, which obviously didn't happen because the pen wasn't needed.
Yep.
And I said 11-4 because I was so confident about this game. Yeah. And we all, in essence, were right, except
I
said the Giants
guessed a win. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I said the Giants would score early and often, which is the opposite of
we scored late and once.
Late and once. So I guess Willie.
But having
was the
said
closest,
that,
then.
we all have our World Series pick of the Giants alive. So shocking.
Yep, that's true. Yeah. And also, by the way, we talked about who was going to be like the random guy to come through.
Yeah.
And I did call Connor Gillespie, but so did Ben, actually, too.
Yeah.
But I also said, who else did I say? I said, oh, man, now I'm trying to remember.
A whole three nights ago.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it was so long ago, and I was so drunk.
That's the problem.
I had a couple other picks. I had a couple other picks. But I remember, like, talking about how Gillespie was like kind of like that's the but I'll tell you why I didn't pick him because I thought for sure Gillespie. I picked him because he is like the Ishikawa of this team, right? Like that's honestly why I picked him. Like it wasn't
because I'm making it.
I was
good,
like his swing looks real good right now. Right,
been around a while. Yeah, he's got a lot of similarities to Ishikawa.
There's a reason I screamed "Welcome home, Connor Gillespie" when that ball went over the wall. You know, so it's very similar.
Tomlinson, that was my other guy. But I, it was like, I know it's going to be one of these random guys, right? Like coming out of nowhere. And they're just going to do something amazing. And true to the Giants form, that's what happened.
Yeah. And this, you know, if should they beat the Cubs in this division series, it's like, my God, they've won 11 series in a row. It's like, how long can this actually go on? It's getting unbelievable at this point. But
well, technically, it can go on forever.
They could win an infinite number of postseason.
As long as Bochy's going to die someday, here. You know?
Yeah, Bruce Bochy will actually die of heart failure due to these games. But no, if they are to pass the Cubs, it's going to be other, you know, some other, like you said, you know, it's going to be a not just a Connor Gillespie, but a Kelby Tomlinson or a Adrianza or someone who's going to come up big.
Gorky's. I mean,
Gorky's Hernandez.
Gorky's, yeah, laying out in center field for something. I mean, it's
Willie and I were all over Gorky's there.
Yeah, I know, right? It's all about the Gorky's.
By the way, Jarrett Parker was supposed to come in and hit.
Yeah, did you see what Bochy had to do?
Yeah, he had to go with, like, tap him on the shoulder and be like, no, 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 get back here.
He was yelling at him. Yeah. He was like, get back.
Hitting anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, because if he went any further and, like, kind of got into the batter's box, the umpire
out of the game.
That'd be done. he was like, get out of here.
A little the nuances, right, to managing, which is.
Yeah, Don Mattingly would not have caught that.
Don Mattingly gets wrecked. yeah.
You know, speaking of Madden, real quick, did you hear Barry Bonds? Barry Bonds got let go by the Marlins because he was too lazy.
Too lazy?
Yes, he has a horrible work ethic.
Yeah, that's what I heard from Mattingly, that he had a bad work ethic. But there were several players.
Mattingly, you can't even read the rule book, Mattingly?
Including Chris Yelich and others who said that Bonds was just a boon to them. So it's interesting, you know, the differences in opinion. But
and some guys have, like, career years because Bonds was telling them how to hit.
Yeah. Now, their stats were way up, and some guys personally vouched for him, but obviously he didn't get along with Mattingly, basically.
Don Mattingly is like one of the best players with the worst baseball minds of all time, right? Like, you have to just.
He's a buffoon. He's a great player, but he's a buffoon of a manager. He just doesn't know how to manage
people. Donkey baseball for years.
I was more focused
on what?
I was more focused on the Barry Bonds aspect of it. But if you guys want to talk about Mattingly on a Giants podcast, you know,
no.
Stop.
No, that's okay. Done with him.
Look,
done
I'll see it. I
mean, maybe the Giants can bring him in as an assistant under Bam Bam. That's where I would go.
Look, Barry may have gone in there in half-assed.
Stop.
I'm not denying that that's very possible. Barry may have been like, this is my Miami vacation for a year. You know, I'm going to take my son. We're going to go chill, like my dumbass son with my dumbass Instagram.
You know?
Oh, yeah. His tweets are pretty epically bad.
My Bonds is the best Instagram ever.
Oh, God, bad.
But, yeah. But, you know, whatever.
All right, guys, for this series, right?
Just a little bit.
All right, so yeah, real quick, let's see what we're going to do this series. What do you guys think?
So I'm going to go with the Giants split one in Chicago. We come back and we win 2 out of 3 in San Francisco. And then we go back and we win game 6. So 4-2, Giants.
Why are you saying game 6, dude? It's a 5-game series.
Sorry. We come back and we just – oh, wait, what? Why am I tripping so hard?
You are tripping, dude. This is a 5-game series.
I'm super tripping.
It's 2-2. It's 2-2-1.
We're 3-1 series. It's got to be a 7-game series by now, right?
Nope.
We're through the 1-game wild card. You're right. Okay, so we split, and then we win 2, and then that's it. There you go.
Okay, so you're saying 3-1 Giants. All right, 3-1 Giants. Split, and then win 2 at home. Got it.
Yep.
The way I look at this,
we win game 3 and 4. That's what I'm.
Yep.
That's what
at
I'm
home.
Saying.
Right. Yeah. Well, the bum's pitching 3, and then it's going to be either Smarja or Moore, game 4. Whoever doesn't pitch game 2
depends on who pitches game 2. Yeah.
Well,
also depends on like if one of those guys gets used out of the bullpen somehow, right? Because
I don't think that's going to happen in Chicago
playoffs.
No, it's too early in the series to do that.
Yeah.
It also depends on if Nunez actually makes the roster or not, what we do with the amount of pitchers. So
I think he's going to take 12 pitchers for sure for the division series. Yeah, he took 11 for the wild card. That was obvious.
Do you think Nunez is going to be in the roster?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to say no for this season.
He was off the roster 2 days before the DS, so it's like that would be pretty.
He comes back for the CS, but not this one.
Exactly. I think he might be left off because it doesn't need to be announced till tomorrow afternoon before.
Especially because Gillespie just hit, you know, 3-run homer.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, thanks for that home run there, but we're going to let you go for this series. Yeah,
makes the decision a little easier.
I agree. I think that Nunez is probably going to be left off for the division series. Eric, what do you think?
Eric, what do you got?
This fascinating stuff with this hurricane on my screen sometimes.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think the Giants are going to win the series. I can't. I'd love to say in three because, you know, there's nothing that.
Because that's the best. Yeah.
Right. But I think it'll be five. I think it'll go the full five.
Oh, wow.
And
you got to win a game in Chicago to clinch it, huh?
Yes, and I think the main reason the Giants win is because nothing they do surprises me anymore. I expect them to win until they show me otherwise. I think they've earned that trust, so I'm just going to go with it, regardless if I think they can win a series or not. Mm-hmm. So I say the Giants win in five. And I'll give some crazy Kelby Tomlinson hits a home run in game five that makes the difference.
Wow. Kelby Tomlinson in game five.
It's like Dwayne Kuiper hitting a home
run. I'm going to say if it goes down to game five, I think it's a Buster Posey or a Brandon Crawford who hits like the big home run in the game five. But yeah, I'm going to say four. I'm going to say in four. I'm going to say we win like there's going to be one blowout somewhere, but all the other games are going to be like 3-1, 2-1, 1-0, 2-0. I think like one game just is a blowout in either direction. But everything else is just super close pitching duels. And it comes down to like an error or, you know, a hit down the line, that type of shit.
Yeah. No, I remember.
I think the Giants take it. I know the Cubs are amazing. I know the Cubs are an amazing team. But when it comes down to like playoff experience, the Giants are going to grind better.
So the one thing I find amazing about this podcast is that it started in 2011 after the success of 2010. And, you know, I recall
You're welcome.
Us. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Right. Thank you, Willie. But I recall, you know, coming on this podcast and you always had the why they will win it all. And we always touted our different things. But in 2012 and 2014, we all had varying predictions on how long series would go. None of us, as I recall, ever picked the opposition of winning. So I'm thinking so far, we're all perfect.
We're all perfect. Yeah, we're about 1,000, dude.
So,
because that's the only times we've ever been in the playoffs.
We should really just go to Vegas. And no, I'm just kidding. But like Eric said, until they prove otherwise, how can you not? I mean, they're playing with house money right now. They're on fire. Yeah, they're playing the number one team. So what? They've played the number one team numerous times in the playoffs, and they just keep proving all of the national people wrong, all the statistic people wrong, all the sabermetrics people wrong. I just until we are proven wrong, I have to go with the Giants. I think, like with Eric, I don't think I wouldn't be surprised if they win it in four. I would definitely be surprised if they swept, but I'm thinking five. I think this is not going to be a non-torturous postseason. It's going to be a torturous postseason, which hopefully we will all revel in at the end. But that being said, I do think they will have to go back to Chicago and do something like a Will Clark single up the middle off of Mitch Williams. You know, something like
Denard Span single up the middle a la Mitch. Okay, I like it.
You know, was it game one? He hit that grand slam against Greg Maddux, right? Wasn't it game one? So maybe that's going to happen tomorrow night.
This is my story about the Giants fan who constantly predicts the wrong thing, constantly predicts that the Giants aren't going to do it, constantly listens to ESPN, apparently. He posted on Facebook, and I posted on his Facebook lots of times disagreeing with him. He posts on Facebook, and he's like, you know, I'm super worried about this game. I don't think the Giants can do this one. Syndergaard is insane. the Mets have, quote unquote, a much better offense than the Giants. And it just doesn't look good this year. And also he says, I don't believe in this even year bullshit, right? Like, literally, like that's his whole post.
It's already happened. Yeah. I mean, it's like a thing. It's like, it's already
fact.
Happened.
It's
but here's the thing. So this is his post the day of that game, right? And then I respond, and I say, the Mets have a quote-unquote much better offense. Then how did the Giants score more runs than them throughout the season? I think the Giants are going to win this game because how can you bet against Bumgarner? The Giants win this game 3-1. End of my post, right? That's what I post. Then he goes back and he says to me,
that's a pretty civil,
of course, Willie disagrees with me. That's all you ever do is disagree with me. You just love to disagree with me. I cannot wait, and I wanted to post this after all that shit happened, because he like called me out just for being a guy who just apparently disagrees with him for the sake of disagreeing. I could not wait to post today after it all happened, when I woke up in the morning, that maybe I didn't just disagree with you. Maybe I was fucking right. Like, I just, like, it's not for the sake of disagreeing with you. It's because I actually fucking called it, you asshole. I couldn't wait to do it. I think he blocked me. I think I'm blocked now. I don't think I have a friend anymore on Facebook, because he, you know, wanted to like, you know, piss on the Giants' chances against the Mets because Thor is so good and the Giants' offense is much worse than the Mets, even though we scored more runs than they did.
Weak reason,
it was pretty,
man.
But I find it hilarious.
It's like, not even political. I mean, or religious,
yeah, no,
or like, something. I mean, that's like, come
it's
on.
It's one thing to get pissed because a guy like wants to vote for Trump or something. But it's another thing to get pissed when a guy just says, like, I think the Giants' offense is actually better than the Mets' offense.
Oh.
And we might win 3-1. And then we win 3-0. So, hey, whatever.
And
you have a history with the scores.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I could see how that game was going to play out. And even as the game was going on, I was like, here's the inning. Is it going to happen here? Is it going to happen here? Well, we got two runners on. I really did feel like, I didn't know Connor was going to hit a home run, but I definitely thought like that was the inning we were going to actually get through and score. At that point, I thought it was like, we went 2-0, right?
Yeah, I thought there was going to be a base hit or two or something like that.
Yeah.
Just something to push through against Familia, but. That was much better.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like I'm some amazing predictor. Obviously I'm not. If you listen to this show,
I'm saying it. Hey, I'm saying it. Well, he's an amazing predictor.
Definitely was.
Sure. Yeah. This time we get it right. But like Chad's gotten the exact win total right like 4 years running.
Four
like,
years in a row until this year. I finally was off. I was six games off. Yeah.
Calling shit, like you could call a home run every single time someone comes to bat and sometimes they do it and you think you're amazing, right? But like I think I can call the fact that the Giants were going to win that game reliably. Like in my head, I was like, this makes sense. And it did make sense. And the score made like all that made sense. Like it's like the guys who are just so pessimistic all the time. I just like, why do you watch the game? Like if you just always think we're going to lose, like, are you having fun or like, I don't know. I would rather
Nancy
win all the time, and then sometimes I lose. I'm like, too bad.
Oh, rats. Yeah.
Rather than be the guy who just thinks like it's never going to work out, and then when they win, I'm like, sweet, they proved me wrong. Like, I don't know. That's not that fun to me.
Plus, they've won 3 championships. Why is this guy so pissed off at the Giants in the first place?
Yeah. You don't win every year.
The second half probably beat his ass down. I think that's what really happened.
I mean, it beat me down. 2016 has kicked my ass.
I would say
ass,
it definitely beat me down.
You know?
And that's why if the Giants do lose against the Cubs, I'm going to be very disappointed. I'm going to drink a lot. But I'm not going to I'm not going to be devastated because it's
be sad. I will be sad, but I won't be devastated.
Yeah,
right?
That's the difference. Now, if they had not made the playoffs or even lost last night, I would have been pretty upset because
the playoffs was the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah,
this
team deserved to be in the playoffs. I thought they were good enough to do that despite their second half. And so, but like we said earlier, that win last night erased the entire second half. So now it's like, okay, boom, reset. Going against the Cubs, if they lose against the best team in baseball in which they were 16 games behind, 16! It's like, all right, well, the better team won. They were the better team. But I would rather face the Cubs in a 5-game series than a 7-game series. Let me just say that.
Amen. Amen.
By the way, no, that's absolutely correct.
The fewer games allows for the inferior team to sneak in. Yep. It does.
But also, like, I just want to point out, like, this is not a race to 162 or whatever. This is a race to 12, right? This is a race to 12 wins.
Yeah, now they got
11
to go.
The Cubs only have to win 11, obviously, yep. But we have to win 12. But we got one out of the way, so now it's a race to 11 for us too, right? So
same.
162 is done. That doesn't matter anymore. Now all it's just who wins 11 with. Games first, right?
So, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the Giants are on the road. Okay, fine. They lose one game against the Cubs for being the wild card. But so do the Dodgers, right? They also have – they don't have home field advantage against the Nationals. So it's like Giants and Dodgers now are basically on equal footing. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Dude, can we please beat the Cubs and have the Dodgers play us in the NLCS?
In a perfect world, if you could orchestrate it – I would absolutely want the Giants to beat the Dodgers.
And then I want
the
Romo to strike out Puig for the last out of like game 5, not even game 7. I don't even want like the
right the drama.
I want the drama but for the last out of game 5.
Yeah, because the Giants will not have home field advantage the rest of the
By the way, I mean they Romo Puig is a pretty good matchup for Romo, so
yeah. It is.
All right, man.
All right.
Anyway, we've talked about this fucking shit for a long ass time. This has been an amazing show. There's so much going on, but there's one thing that we always do to finish off every episode of this show, and that's when we talk about why the Giants will win it all. So let's go ahead and go for it. Chad, start us off. Why will we win it all?
All right. So in this series, all of the pressure is on the Cubs because of the curse. Because they had the best record in the majors, and only 5 of the last 30 teams with the best record in the entire league have won the World Series. Giants even year bullshit continues. Madison Bumgarner, his legend continues to grow, and they just find a way to do it. Just the recipes of 10, 12, and 14, they're just going to find that resolve and take it to the finish line.
I like it.
Don't steal
Chad,
my...
what you got? Or sorry, Eric, what you got?
don't steal my Madison Bumgarner thunder, because that's all I have. Madison Bumgarner. That's all I have. Much in the way you say John Wayne, much in the way you say, why is there nobody else but John Wayne? There's nobody but John Wayne.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Much in the way you say that, and you know, that's it. The Giants are going to win because of Bumgarner. He just won't. He doesn't allow failure.
I like it. I'm going to quote a guy with 38,300 followers on Twitter, known as Batting Stance Guy.
Oh, yeah.
On why the Giants will win it all. And that is because not only is it an even year, it's any year after 1908. And so the Cubs, I'm sorry, you ain't doing it, man.
Wait till next year.
Yeah. You got more goats or whatever. I don't know, dude. Like less goats. What's the number? What's the primary number of goats it's going to take for the Cubs to pull this off? Not really sure, but the Giants are going to continue doing what they do, which is plowing through favorites. This was the first time we were considered the favorite in the game, by the way.
First time.
Yeah.
Well, that was only because the money came in late on the Giants.
Yeah, that was
so heavy.
Vegas, yeah.
Right.
Well, apparently that like literally writers. Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. The Giants are just this. We're playoff Giants here.
Yep.
Everything that happened in the regular season, like we said, is gone. It is now playoff Giants time, which is a completely different team. You know, if a guy like Morris was here, he would hit a random pinch hit home run. Like it doesn't matter. Like the guys are going to come in, they're going to do whatever they need to do, and it's going to be completely unexpected. Everyone's going to freak the hell out, and at the end, the Giants are going to hoist the trophy. So,
all right. Oh man, sounds good. I did not think we'd be talking about this a week or two ago. Seriously.
No.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
The podcast was over and I was never going to be on it again or something. Yeah. Like I was like, yeah, what, you know, a whole season went by, I wasn't there and yeah. But nope, here we are. We're back. And
here we are.
But much like the Giants, all of that's a race now, Willie, cuz you're here now.
Yep, I know. I'm back and I'm in fucking mid-season form, dude. I'm in postseason form right now.
Maybe that's it. You were the key. We're missing you.
Yeah, maybe. Tomorrow I'll be stressing the fuck out somewhere in this fine town of Austin, Texas.
Well, I'll be stressing out, but at least their season won't be over. So it's a little...
Tomorrow the season cannot end, which
is
beautiful.
A little minor stress, though.
But goddamn, I cannot wait to see Cueto pitching for the Giants in the postseason. That is a beautiful thought.
First one, yep.
Beautiful thought, man. Beautiful thought. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. If you guys want to check us out on Twitter, we are at TortureCast. That's where you can follow all of us collectively. If you want to follow each one of us individually, I am at Willie Dills. Chad is, shit, dude. What are you?
At ChadK21.
Dude, I remembered. Eric is at 2OutHits. Ben, who is not with us tonight, is at Fried Duck. And check us out, TortureCast on Facebook and also TortureCast.com for the blog. And that's going to do it for episode 114. We got through unlucky episode 113, which apparently fucking luck has nothing to do with it. And we're going to move on at least two more episodes, right? Two more, we can say, at this point?
I would say at least two more. Yeah.
At least two more? Okay.
Hopefully three.
It's not a two more. I'm gonna hope for three. I'm gonna hope for six episodes.
Yeah.
Can we get
we can try and squeeze one in between when they come home. I would love to do that.
After every like couple games we should get one in. Right?
The off days, right? The off days.
The off day.
Yeah. That'd be good. So we'll see what we can do.
It's not two more. It's going to be at least three more. That's what I'm saying. All right. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Chad, for Eric, for the absent Ben. This is TortureCast. We'll see you next time. A boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.